Greetings, humans, and welcome aboard the USS Henson and to Riser and Shine, your unofficial Star Trek Enterprise podcast. I'm your host, Jason, and joining me once again on the bridge is my number one, Michaela.
Hello.
Now, we are your, I'd say, casual variety of Star Trek fan. We're not the hardcore Trekkies, but we have enjoyed many of the series, but we haven't managed to get through Enterprise, which is why we created this podcast, to keep us honest and try and get through it.
Black sheep.
Yes, that's right. But if you want to, like, if you'd like to get to know a little bit more about us and our history with the franchise in general, head over to anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or Google, and listen to episode zero. And indeed, you can find all our previous episodes on those platforms too. And if you have any comments, questions, or feedback for the show, you can leave them at Riser and Shine on Facebook, or send us an email at riserandshinepodcast@gmail.com. All right, now it's time to take your stations as we get into our discussion of Enterprise Series Season 1, Episode 12, Silent Enemy. Okay, so last week, it was an okay-ish episode, but I do remember we were sort of, not complaining, but just wondering what's happening with Reed Madden.
Yes.
He's one of the characters that we hadn't really got to know. Got to know most of the other ones fairly well. And you ask, and the prophets, they give you.
The prophets always give.
The prophets or Google, whoever's listening to our calls, MI5, CIA, whoever it is, they were listening, and they gave us, you can kind of say, a Malcolm episode, I guess.
Yeah.
He was B plot, I imagine.
Yeah, it was the B plot
of this episode.
We kind of remember when we read the the synopsis of this for this particular episode,
right.
And we just by the title we were like, oh, this sounds like it could be a Reed episode. So indeed it was.
And turns out that it was. Not only was it a Reed episode, I guess he was part of this, the whole theme, which I guess was about communication and maybe not knowing something that's close to you or near you, and maybe not knowing fully what they're all about and understanding who they are and what they're all about. Because along with this Reed episode, or we should say Reed's, the focus of Reed on this episode, Silent Enemy was also about a silent enemy, an alien race that the Enterprise
is not able to communicate.
They basically appear, drop out of warp and appear in front of them, and they don't say anything or do much at all. They're just there. They don't even scan the Enterprise.
Yeah, the first time, yeah.
They're just there. As usual, Archer hails. Hoshi tries to send a message, but they hear nothing. They get nothing.
And then
literally the silent treatment, and then
they go into
warp. Yeah.
And so they're wondering, and they're thinking, maybe we weren't interesting enough.
Maybe they weren't interesting enough. Yeah. There's nothing fascinating about them.
But it's at this point that we kind of get into the B plot for the episode.
So, yes, because immediately after that, I think Archer assigns Hoshi to find out a bit more about Malcolm, and specifically what his favorite food is, because it's his birthday.
Yes.
And he wants to create something special for him or something.
Yes, but so he asks her, you know, if she found out, and the found out was about locating his parents.
Right.
So she tells him, I found them. They are in Kota Bharu, Malaysia.
Mm.
And so she has arranged a video call with them. And so we see him, we see Archer going to his ready room and speaking with his parents.
Yeah, he has a chat with his parents. I think one of them is played by a great character actor, Guy Sinner, or Sinner.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great character actor. He plays Malcolm's father.
Yeah.
And they didn't know their son at all.
It's really weird, actually. That
stereotypical British sort of reserved, stiff upper lip.
But that's
much.
Like... really
mother, father, child, everyone's had their role, and I don't think they
maybe
were
went
very
to boarding
close.
School
yeah
or
maybe something.
Something
like that, yeah,
because it was it doesn't really reflect British. I mean, that's like heightened to the max.
Yeah,
like
it's a hyperbolic stereotype of
it's not. I don't know anyway. I know a lot of British people, and obviously having been in England for several years, and it's not that cold.
No, I mean, I thought it was funny.
It was really funny.
His mom,
but...
the actor who plays his mother, Jane Carr. She was funny.
Yeah, she was funny.
She was funny, yeah. I thought they kind of... I mean, they were...
She was quite British.
They were hamming it up, for sure.
Yeah,
It's interesting because not only does Archer or any of the crew really know Reed.
Yeah.
I imagine the writers themselves didn't really know much about their character, because I think this episode was trying to fill that in. They obviously had ticked off a few of the characters, and I guess Reed was one that they hadn't got around to, and it kind of seemed like they didn't really know. We still don't really know that much about
him. We still don't know. We by the end of the episode, it was such a mission, literally. That was more like a better mission than the A plot, to be honest, because it was so hard to find information. So, but at least we did manage to find something, which will get to it later. But
yeah, we'll get to that a little.
It was quite interesting. Yeah. So this call happens. At the end of the day, he doesn't learn anything. They don't know. They said to him, they didn't even know he was an armory officer. That is ridiculous. They said to him.
That's right. Yeah. Because obviously we know and the crew know, but when Archer was speaking to the parents, they had no clue.
They just said, we haven't heard from him since he left.
Yeah, for the academy.
So that would have been a long time, because maybe a good at least 10 years.
I hope we find out a little bit more as to why their relationship is such. I don't get the impression he had an argument with them or some sort of falling out.
Yeah,
you don't get that impression. It just seemed
just not close.
Very much, they brought him up, you know, very traditional, strict or stern way. Very much, they're the parents, you're the kid. Everyone's playing their roles.
Yeah.
He wanted to do his thing in Starfleet.
Yeah, they let him.
He left and joined, and he went off and did his thing. I guess they assume he's alive because they've not heard that he's dead, but they haven't heard from him at all.
But then they spoke to, is that his sister?
Well, we'll get into that. So basically, there's a big, so Hoshi gets assigned to find out a little bit more about Reed and in particular.
She's not particularly
about this role, but he's assigned her to do it. And in particular, he wants her to find out what he likes to eat, because they want to make him a birthday dinner, basically.
Yeah.
So while she's doing that, we go back to the A-plot, which is essentially these aliens, they return back.
Yeah.
And this time they weren't as quiet.
No.
They fire on the Enterprise, right? And rock them a little bit. Mm. And then they, again, go off into warp. And Archer wasn't happy about that. And in fact, it drives him to return back to a base on Jupiter to equip the Enterprise with phase cannons.
Yeah.
And what I liked about, so there's a little scene where he kind of explains to the crew what it is that they're going to do. And initially Reed and Trip, they are up for the upgrades, but they want to do it themselves. They want to prove that they can do it themselves instead of returning back to Jupiter. But what was interesting about it was two things for me. We get a little bit of a callback to Klang from the Klingon from the very first episode.
Yeah.
And the whole situation of why Enterprise launched in the first place. Yes, because, which brings up my second point, a little bit again of going back to the sort of over-enthusiastic, overconfident, a little bit of arrogance and hubris from Archer for leaving immediately to take back Klang to Kronos.
Yeah.
But really, without the ship being fully ready and fully equipped, I think he really wanted to prove to the Vulcans that we can do this, right?
Yeah.
His ego got in the way again, and they're not really prepared for these kind of confrontations. And he realizes that when this alien ship fires on them, and it rocks them, so he was like, oh, snap.
Yeah, because obviously...
He even says, I could have killed people, could have died because of me, because we're not equipped.
True. And it's not even the first time it happens. They've had a few encounters already. But obviously, in every other situation, they've been able to communicate with friends or enemy that they were able to communicate. This one is the silent treatment. I think is for him is quite a catalytic almost situation that really pushed him to make him realize.
Yeah, this was a warning shot in
more
ways than
one.
It
kind of reminds me, you know, like this situation. It reminds me the Star Trek movie, is it Beginnings? When they are the one that has got Picard with Kirk.
Generations.
Generations, sorry. That
With McDowell. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That they is a kind of a similar situation where basically they were off. I mean, obviously it wasn't a whole. It was like the maiden journey or something like this of the ship, and so a lot of things were in there, but they were not working yet, or they hadn't been installed yet.
Right.
So, and they find themselves having to deal with quite a tough situation with being, you know,
still had a few
not ready,
a few ghosts in the machine, a few bugs and quirks to
there's
to
lots of
out.
Things.
Yeah, it's a starship, right?
Yeah.
So it's so many things. But yeah, so I did kind of like that. I like the way that it definitely called back and reminded us of the whole Krang
episode.
And the Krang and the Kronos situation. So a little hint again that this Suliban thing is gonna be something going forward. And yes, also giving Archer a moment to realize that maybe they're not ready as much as they thought they are for what's out there. I thought that was quite interesting to kind of see that and see his reaction to it. So then we go back to Hoshi, and she is on the case. She's doing a bit of a Columbo, and she's trying to find out.
That was quite nice.
What is who is Malcolm, right?
Yeah.
So she speaks to his sister.
Yeah.
Played by, I can't remember the actor's name, but she plays Ray Donovan's wife.
Yeah.
In the TV series Ray Donovan, we'll come back to her, but she plays his sister.
She was very young there.
Yeah, much younger looking, and she didn't know much about her brother either.
Yeah.
Like all of them had. So Hoshi's trying to find out what he likes to eat, and most of them can't even remember him eating much.
Yeah.
That seemed to be because she asks, she speaks to his sister, speaks to
his uncle.
Two spinster aunts, and his best friend.
Yeah, and his best friend.
None of them can clearly remember him specifically.
The maximum they were like, yeah, he likes eggs. He likes breakfast stuff.
That was Phlox.
Yeah.
She eventually gets an answer from Dr. Phlox.
Oh, yes.
None of them know particularly. They can't really recall anything significant that he likes or he's ever asked for. So poor Hoshi is pretty much back where she started. Like, I don't know anything about this guy. And
we can't get anywhere.
His party's going to come up a bit later on. But she gets distracted, or the crew get distracted from that mission, because the aliens appear again.
Mm.
So they appear again.
And this time
they board the ship.
Yes.
Yeah.
But before, wait, because we missed one second contact. We did mention it that they came back and they attacked him, but they also scanned them.
Yes, they
scanned
them. Yeah.
So they scanned them. And so this is the third time that they come back, and they send a shuttle pod. And basically two of them enter, and they kind of like look like really ugly type, like aliens.
Not ugly, but they're very, they've got that look, the classic sort of alien look that's not so humanoid in its features. Very Spielbergy, very spindly and gangly, large sort of head, you know, a classic sort
long
of
legs.
Alien species look. So they're scanning the ship, basically. They're doing their research and they're checking things out.
Mm.
Archer goes down with two no-names, we call them, but red shirts, basically, who obviously get taken out. Archer fires back at these aliens and there's no effect.
Yeah.
No effect on them.
They're not interested. Yeah.
Turns up the phaser, you know, probably...
To kill or something.
Maximum. Nothing.
Nothing.
And these aliens just walk off like, ciao now.
Yeah.
No worries, no issue. And I think that made Archer even more concerned about what the situation is.
Yeah.
And I think he cracks the whip on Reed and Trip to speed up their process of fixing and upgrading the ship with these phase cannons, because, you know, we've been boarded and these guys look like it was nothing for them.
Yeah, and plus they got further damage. They got the port nacelle gets damaged because as they left...
They give another parting shot just to let them know, you know, we've
not
got them. Try it. You know, we know your ship's capabilities defensively and offensively.
Mm.
Not probably going to be a match for us. So they let off a firing shot, hits the ports themselves, and leaves them in a bit of a pickle. And then we go back to Hoshi, who speaks to Dr. Phlox, where we find out from him that, as far as he knows, that he thinks Reed likes eggs.
Yeah,
he likes breakfast.
Eggs,
breakfast foods,
sausages.
Breakfast foods, eggs,
yeah.
Scrambled, poached, fried,
yeah.
sausages, pancakes.
Pancakes.
With peanut butter, because yeah. he mentions that he has them with peanut butter.
Yeah. It's quite, I was quite close because I was thinking, I kind of noted down what...
using a bingo, like what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, what it is.
For
me, I had the sausage and mash and bacon sarnie.
I was thinking shepherd's pies. Something like that.
Something British. Had to
bubble
be
and
something,
squeak.
Yeah, exactly. Something British.
I was thinking along those lines, but we are not. We weren't right.
Yeah.
We'll find out later, little bit later,
yeah.
what it was. So she's speaking to Phlox, and he remembers there was something that he was taking.
Yeah. Bromelain.
Yes, he was taking something. Because he has allergy
for...
or something. Yeah.
He's got a few allergies, so bromelain is helping.
Yes, and for a specific, enzyme that it was benzatine, is it, or something? There was a specific enzyme that he needed or something like that.
No, bromelain is the enzyme.
Oh, was that the
yeah.
enzyme? Okay, so he, he's got, an allergy to bromelain, which is found in pineapples.
Yeah.
Yeah, pineapples. So she's like, okay, that gives Hoshi a clue as to what it is that he likes or
yeah.
what he might like. So she goes off all happy and excited to figure out what it is that she's going to make later for Reed.
It doesn't really make sense though, because when I'm thinking of if he's allergic, why would you be, that would be your favorite food if you're allergic to it? It's like saying you're allergic to eggs and eggs are your favorite food.
Mm.
Could that be? It doesn't make sense. Because normally people, they always say, no, I don't like eggs or I don't like seafood.
Well, I think he likes pineapples. And I guess the bromelain effect, he likes them, but it's not.
But it is allergic, he can't.
Allergic, not to the point of like an anaphylactic or something like that, but it doesn't make him probably feel good. But he still
right.
likes them. So I guess he's taking
this injection
to the counter whenever he has. Pineapples or anything with the bromelain enzyme inside it. So she's off doing that. Back with the crew, Reed and Trip, they've upgraded Enterprise. So now they've got these awesome phase cannons done.
Yeah.
Turns out they did the job well. They worked double shifts. And it's funny, actually, the two guys have 5 o'clock shadows on their faces because they've been doing double shifts and working all night to get this
yeah.
phase cannons onto the ship before they got to Jupiter because they wanted to prove that they could do it.
Yeah. So they do a test.
So Archer's like, okay, they find some rock somewhere, some asteroid somewhere, and they're like, let's do a little test here. Just shoot a little bit off the top of this kind of peak, I guess.
Yeah.
So we can just see what it can do. They fire, and it was like 10 times more powerful than what they wanted.
And what did you say at that point?
You was only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. It's my Michael Caine impression. So they basically blow this rock sky high. And Archer's like, what the hell was that? And Reed realizes there was a power surge.
Yeah, something that causes it.
Something caused a power surge. And when they go searching for where this power surge came from, I think T'Pol, she reads an unusual scan, something down in the where the phase cannons are.
Yeah.
When they go searching for it, they find this... scanning device,
yeah.
I think. That
it looks like a dish.
Kind of looks like a dish, yeah.
yeah.
And it's basically a scanning device that these aliens had left when they boarded the ship. Archer finds out that it is this thing, and he kind of records a message for the aliens, because they
yeah.
haven't been speaking at all. There's been no communication apart from firing weapons at them.
Yeah.
So he records a communication to them saying basically, like, yeah, we know that you're all that, you've got some weapons, but you don't, this is one thing about humans, we don't back down from these kind of confrontations, so next time you fire on us, we'll have something for you, basically. So he leaves
yeah.
them that message.
Then that causes the ship to come back.
Yes. The ship comes back, the aliens come back, basically.
Yeah.
For...
And we have a similar Borg situation.
Where they use, so the aliens, they've got the feed, the message that Archer left on their ship, and they use that to send Enterprise a message. Yeah, they do a deep fake and use a message saying, using the words that Archer used, like, you're defenseless, you are defenseless, prepare to surrender your vessel. So they basically feed that back to Archer as if to say, we're going to fire on you and we're going to blow you up, basically, this time. But now, because Enterprise has those cannons, they're a bit more confident. I think they fire the first time, but no effect. It doesn't do anything. Yeah. It just kind of ripples off their shield. And again, we see how the technology of another race is far superior to the Enterprise, which Archer is learning. And I think this episode is all about that, I think, in some ways as well, about how vulnerable they are.
What was the how do they call the shields when we in another polarizing?
They say they polarize the hull or polarize the starboard. So
instead of shields up.
The shields are kind of, I guess, not the shields as we know them at the moment, or at least the command for them is not at the moment. So now Archer's saying, polarize the hull or polarize the starboard, or wherever the attack is coming from. That's essentially what the shields are now. So they fire, nothing seems to work, and then Archer remembers, of course, that the last time they did the test, it was that massive emission of power. So he asks Reed to overload it again. Overload the cannons. He's a little bit reluctant to do that because the last time he took out a couple of decks. But Archer's like, I'd rather sacrifice a few decks than surrender the ship. So do it, basically. Overload it, they fire, and this time it does a little bit more damage to Pulse. Their shields are failing. They fire off two torpedoes, and that rocks that ship a little bit. And then the alien's like, okay, cool. And they warp out of there. They don't hang around, they just kind of leave it. So they kind of stood their ground, fired their weapons, and they did okay. They
behaved in a way that Klingons would be proud of.
Yes, they held their ground. it was mano a mano. It was a standoff.
They fought with honor.
It was a standoff, and they ended up getting away with it, basically. And those aliens, they just thought, okay, cool. They probably could have taken out the Enterprise, but maybe it wasn't worth it. They just thought, don't want to get into a firefight, these guys. I've got a bit of power on them. We may come off worse. So they
left.
Yeah, so they basically left.
I wonder if we're going to see them again.
Do you reckon we might do? They're interesting.
Yeah, they're interesting.
I like the fact that they didn't state their intentions. They were quiet. They were silently doing their thing. They weren't that in fear of the Enterprise. I don't think they were ever worried.
No, at all.
Yes, they got through. The Enterprise did fire and got through their shields, but I reckon if they went at it, they probably would have come out on top. But they thought, "Nah, it's not worth it," and they got out of there. So they're interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing them again. And let us know if they do appear again in any other Star Trek. I don't recall seeing them in anything before this. Normally, we see some alien species and we recognize them from something else. But these guys, I've not seen them. And the fact that they're quiet makes it a bit more, more interesting.
It's very mysterious, and I'd like to see more of them, even if they're ugly.
So that's basically that ended the A plot, and then we come back to Reed and Tucker. They all celebrate their victory over some drinks in the armory, and Hoshi. So she's been busy.
Yeah.
She's found out now that pineapple. Although
could be a good choice.
Could be a good or bad choice.
We don't know.
All we know is that he's allergic
to bromelain.
To bromelain, and it's common in pineapples. Yeah. And because Phlox said that Reed has been taking those injections, she's assuming that he likes pineapple, but it could make him really sick. So she's taking a risk. She comes in with a big cake. And he's quite happy. Reed is quite happy because.
Yeah.
He's touched by it because he's a...
It kind of reminds me of you.
Me? Why?
Yeah, because he's just one of those people who doesn't want to have fast done for him.
He's introverted character.
Yeah, he's a very introverted. Like. He doesn't like people fussing about him.
Yeah, I get that with Reed. Introverted homie. We kind of like, we're cool, you know?
Yeah.
We're there, we do our thing. We're around if you want to talk.
So it must have been cool because there was only, four people at that party? So it was perfect.
Perfect for him, yeah. Introverts, stand-up introverts, like, one or two people maximum. There was four here, so he might have been a bit under pressure. Oh, and we forgot a bit earlier when Hoshi was trying to find out She went directly to him to ask.
We started talking.
That was kind of a fun scene.
Yeah, we need to talk about that one because
basically, she went around asking all kinds of people about what it is about him and what does he like and who is he, and no one really knew. And she was speaking about her sort of failure to find out anything with Travis, and DePaul overhears them, and being logical, she said, "Why don't you just go and ask the guy what it is that he likes?" So she does. She meets him in the mess hall.
She pretends, she goes for lunch.
And she's trying to kind of subtly find out what he likes by saying, "Oh, you know, the chef's food, after a while it gets a little bit monotonous and repetitive. You know, I've got a replicator program in my room. We can maybe try some enchiladas. You know, what do you like?
You like my enchiladas."
And poor Reed, he's reading it wrong.
He's thinking she's asking him out on a date.
Yeah, he's thinking it's something more amorous and a bit more ooh-la-la.
Yeah, because she's inviting him to her quarters. So, you could come to my quarters and try enchiladas.
Because she's trying to
be a bit
subversive about how she's asking. It kind of comes across to Reed, at least, as if she was...
and to me.
Offerings.
I said immediately, oh my gosh, he's gonna misunderstand this.
And that was funny because when she realizes that he's got the wrong idea, there was this awkward kind of mistake. Forgive me. And she's like, no, don't worry, it's me, it's my bad. That was quite a fun little scene, which kind of gave Reed a little bit more, I guess.
Yeah, and also again, there you see again, he says something like, "Oh, you know, don't need to bother yourself because of me."
Right. Yeah.
You know, again, it's very much, so we are at the end, and they're celebrating the victory. So Oshie comes with the cake, and Malcolm cuts into the cake and realizes it's pineapple, and says, "Oh, it's my favorite. It's my favorite. How did you know?
How on earth did you know?" We don't need to go to that trouble. And they're like, "No trouble at all."
Yeah.
Because we know there was a bit of trouble for her.
It is, yes.
So it's a nice little...
And at least we established he does like pineapple.
Yeah, he does like pineapple. I'm assuming he likes it enough to take the ejections to kind of counteract any things that disagree with him or any reactions that he has. But he likes it enough to put up with that, so...
But it's hilarious that nobody ever saw him eating pineapple.
Eating pineapple, yeah, what he's been doing. Maybe Dr. Phlox has given him some sort of concoction to satisfy that. But yeah, it was her... Okay, episode, it was simple. For me, what I found interesting was, the vulnerability of Enterprise and Archer's realization of that. And the responsibility of it is weighing on him a little bit more, because he had this very much a buccaneering, adventurous spirit about it all. And
of thinking like one way or the other, we're going to make it, you know, like let's just go and see what happens. We're going to...
Optimism was definitely overloading his
judgment
on certain situations. Yeah. And like you said, a few times now, they've run into some... tight areas and they've got out of things, but each time that it's getting the margins of error is getting thinner and thinner. And I think he's realized that. I'm wondering if this episode, because it could have been a setup episode in the sense of, okay, we know a little bit about Malcolm, but again, it's still not enough. It's very tertiary and very sort of, he likes pineapple, that's all we kind of knew. And he doesn't really talk much, he's an introvert, I guess. But I wonder if they added those phase cannons because there's bigger things to come, right? Because it seems like this episode was just there to set up
something
cannon,
later,
weapons, which they're going to need later. I'm thinking this was the point of this episode. Essentially filler, but it's an important filler, because I'm assuming they're going to come across something that if they didn't have these cannons, people are going to be like, how did they survive, or how did they manage to defeat whatever's coming without weaponry? So, I think this episode might have been something to do with that. Interestingly as well, when Archer was, Trip was speaking about the ship's capabilities and the schematics, he was saying that Enterprise is designed to hold three of these phase cannons.
But only have one.
So
maybe they're getting two more.
Oh, no, so by the way, I love the way that when we see the torpedoes, we physically see them being loaded into the chamber and then firing. I love that. That's almost like a submarine. It's like the way they kind of, I love the mechanicalness of that.
Yeah.
Where they kind of load physically into the into the chamber and then they fire out. I love that. So I always love seeing when Reed gets a fire off into the armory and to shoot stuff off.
And another thing, like we did see, get to see a bit more again, walking scenes where you got Archer and Trip walking.
Yeah, it's a bit more movement.
Yeah,
again
more moments.
In this episode, I guess when people are being, when you're fired on and being attacked, you're going to have to be a bit more sort of physicality, and drama,
physically
in the movement of the episode. So yeah, I think we should give it a score. I think we can wrap it up there. Yeah. So yeah, at Rise or Shine, we rate each episode on a 1 to 5 pip scale, which is basically in line with the Starfleet ranking. So Ensign would be 1 pip, Lieutenant 2 pips, Commander 3 pips, Captain 4 pips, and Admiral 5 pips. We haven't given anything high. What's the highest we've given?
Four. Civilization.
No, Unexpected.
Unexpected.
Episode 5. That's still the highest rated episode. But what would you give for Silent Enemy?
I think a 2.
Lieutenant. 2 pips, Lieutenant?
Yeah.
I would give it 2 pips, yeah. We learn a little bit more about Malcolm.
Yeah.
But
it
It wasn't amazing.
Overall,
it was watchable. I actually learned more about Archer than I did Malcolm, even though this was a get to know Malcolm episode.
Yeah.
I still think the writers don't know who Malcolm is. They still haven't figured out what his thing is. He looked good with the 5 o'clock shadow, him and Trip, when they were working the night shift, figuring out the phase cannons. I still don't really know him that well.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's strange because it's not like we spent 2 or 3 episodes with all the other characters and we know them inside out, but we know enough to get a good idea about what they bring. But still, Malcolm, not sure. If he got killed, would we miss him on that ship?
Yeah, so far, not really.
Right? You imagine if, because you know, with every Star Trek, they have to lose one major star to make it more dramatic and more realistic. And you, at the moment, between him and Travis, I feel that they'll be the least missed.
So Travis far. Mayweather?
Yeah. I think if one of them went, they would be
but
the
least.
But
to be honest, if we had to choose between the two, I would keep Travis. Because he's already been interacting more, and I'm not going on the actor. I'm just going purely on the character. Because again, we've got to know more of Mayweather.
That's why I want to give Reed a bit more. I want to give him a chance.
So you just kill off Mayweather straight?
No. I'm warming before it's Mayweather. I'm warming to Reed.
Right.
I think we need a bit more. Maybe it's the introvert we're connecting. But
you're biased.
There's something there, which I'm finding the mystery of him is there. So let's see.
Who in other Star Trek series, who could he compare to, like personality-wise? Is there anyone that is similar to him? I don't think so.
Not really.
Maybe, who was it? On Voyager, the Asian guy, I think it was
Kim.
He was quite extrovert.
I don't know. We'll have to think about that and see. Yeah. It's not really anyone. Again, I think the writers don't know themselves who he is, so they're still figuring it out, I imagine. Mm. Okay, 2 pips. 2 pips for you. I think 2 pips for me as well. Porthos was there.
Yeah, it was very cute. Porthos, he was following them.
Porthos was there.
And they're walking around the ship. And he was like, sat down. And then he was following them with his tail.
Yeah.
Wagging.
Yeah. Normally we give a point just for Porthos, but I can't.
He's way too cute.
I don't want to waste it on this episode.
No.
So 2 pips. Yeah, 2 pips still. So Silent Enemy, this episode was directed by Winrich Kolb, who's a veteran Star Trek director. I think this is his first Enterprise episode he's directed, but he's a veteran and kind of showed, really. This episode, at least in terms of the storytelling and the camera and the angles used, the movement, I thought it was interesting. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. The kind of the pace was good. So, legend. And it was written by Andre Bormanis. Episode MVP?
Hoshi.
Linda Park. I think Hoshi. This was definitely an episode. Best line of the show for sure was those two. So when she is asking, she goes to Dr. Phlox to find out about about Reed. And then she asks, you know, is there anything medical that they can do? You know, she says, you know, I don't suppose scanning his taste buds would help. And Phlox replies, medically speaking, there's no accounting for taste. I like that line.
Yeah.
That's a good line. So that's line of the show. And yeah, I think that's about it. We'll wrap it up there. Nothing much more to say.
Yeah.
In and out, two
clips. Yeah, it's quite average.
Yeah, straightforward episode. Didn't learn a little bit much.
Yeah.
Bit more about Archer, which was interesting, and these face cannons. I suspect they're going to be important later on.
Yeah, possibly yes. But it was. Yeah. I would even pair it to an episode of the week. It was just a little.
Yeah, it's a mission of the week.
It is, but it wasn't.
It was okay. Yeah.
There's so much going on.
Still needs.
We're tough crowds.
Well, no, it just needs to work harder because next generation, we got high standards. Still not.
If you're comparing it to really any of even think of Deep Space Nine, which you are on a station, right? So you don't have all these movements, traveling around and everything. Even any episode in Deep Space Nine is better. Even if you just spend it a quark, you know, playing
Dumbo and Dumja.
Even that, you get more entertainment.
Yeah.
You get more like
the characters are just so strong.
Yeah, they're really strong.
Yeah, and you know that because when it's a one-off episode on those particular characters, there's so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun. Like when it's a
quark episode,
a Ferengi episode, it's just
if
it's just them, it's amazing still.
It's true. Because that's the beauty, I think, overall of Star Trek, the fact that there are so many characters that are so strong, they're so well developed, that when they get they're the protagonist of that particular episode, you don't really miss knowing about anyone else.
Right.
You know, they hold the screen. If when you have people like Worf or something, we had so many episodes of Worf on Deep Space Nine. We still haven't finished the rerun for the third, fourth time now, but we even said recently how many episodes O'Brien has he had in Deep Space Nine?
Yeah.
Right.
And also, the opposite of true as well, is like you miss them if you don't see them for a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, where's O'Brien? Or where's
Worf,
Jake
where
even? Like, what's going on? Like, I haven't seen. So you even miss certain characters if you don't
even,
see them.
Even Nog. I was so sad when you went off to Starfleet, right? Because even if they have, like, say, 3-4 minutes in the whole episode, you have that one or two scenes, still, they just bring so much. That you know, you really miss them if you don't see them for like several episodes.
They become friends, right? You want to hang out with them. How many times have you said, I love to hang out in Quark's bar?
Yeah, I love that.
With Morn, having a drink and hanging out.
Even Morn doesn't even speak, right? He never said it's the easiest easiest job. Like, they never had to learn a line.
DS9, I think it's my favorite DS9.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's really tough. But anyway, so to the point that we don't get this. So even so far, we're, 12 episodes in or 13? Not 12, right?
Yeah, 12, yeah.
We still haven't got a real bite of these characters, you know? That's what's bothering me.
Still waiting for that. We'll see. We're still early. Well, I guess we're halfway through now, almost, this first season. So let's hope. Maybe it turns here. The face cannons have been equipped.
Yeah.
Archer is concerned about security and their vulnerability. Let's see. But yeah, I guess that's it. That's our podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening, as always. If you enjoyed what you heard, you can find all our previous episodes over at Spotify, Anchor.fm, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and Google.
And if you want to leave a like, a comment, share the podcast with your friends, or say hello, you can find us at Riser and Shine on Facebook, or you can send us an email to riserandshinepodcast@gmail.com.
Join us next week, where we'll be discussing Series 1, Episode 13, Dear Doctor.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. One of our favorites at the moment, yes. Flops, isn't it, as a character?
So that's promising to
hopefully this is a good
be
one.
A good one.
Yeah. Apparently, in this episode, he's asked to save an alien race from annihilation, from some disease, but he discovers something unusual about another humanoid species on the planet.
Ooh.
I'm looking forward to this one. I like
I already know they're going to be on a planet. He's getting a point already.
Off ship, Dr. Off Flops. Ship,
yeah.
I am really looking forward to this.
That's a two solid, at least.
You're starting from two pips. Okay, remember this next week, guys. Michaela's starting from two pips. We're starting at two for her.
Yeah.
So we're going to see.
Off the ship.
You've got to join us next week to find out what our thoughts on that one. Okay, this is Rajam and Shine with Jason and
Michaela.
We're going to go off to the holosuite to check out a new Mexico 86 World Cup final program I made.
Okay.
Should be good. Yeah. Mexican wave, maybe?
Mexican wave.
Ooh. See you next week, guys.